Oh man, we are back. Welcome in, Cannabis Insider, episode 3526 and a half and point four. I don't actually know. I think we're at like 200, maybe 150. I don't know. We've had a lot of episodes, a lot of awesome interviews. We're going to have another one today. And I am visited by the one, the only, the Brooklyn badass himself, Tony Noto. At I am Tony Noto on Twitter. You should follow him. Tony, what's up, man?
I'm doing well now that I'm sitting here with you. And follow Elliot Wayne 10 on Twitter.
Ooh, thank you for the co-shout out. Follow both of us. We like that. Also important, let's get some shout outs out the way, y'all. We're going to have some news items. If this is the first time you're listening to us, Morax, Super Lemon Haze, Quantum, you're already on top of it. You know what we're talking about here. But we talk about cannabis every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 Eastern time. Not only that, we get industry leaders from around the space to come and talk about it with us. So that's part of it. If you all have any stocks that you want us to discuss, drop them in the chat. We are always open to telling you our thoughts on industry movers. This earnings has both been, I think, an improvement and disappointing all at the same time. So, welcome to cannabis, right? That being said, Tony Noto, you are our editorial voice, the expertise within the mastery of our team. Let's start, man. What's on your top mind right now?
Well, today we had a lot of politically driven. Mm-hmm. Our team, Nina, Yelena, they're covering it every day. And as we're just barreling toward the autumn, election day is on people's minds. And of course, cannabis is one of the topics that gets often debated. And a lot of our top news stories today are just that, just the clash over what to do with legalization and how it ties into descheduling and will that be a possibility? And can Biden issue an executive order like he did with student loans, or would he defer to the states? And all topics that just tie into that, and it affects stocks. And you were talking about stocks before. We have in these stories, we pepper our stories full of companies and their tickers. If there's a company that you're investing in or that is directly tied to a particular state, then they have a chance to issue at stake, you might want to read up on it.
I'll tell you this, because, you know, y'all, if you didn't know, we cover cannabis in a podcast as well to start the day every day around 8:15, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. You can catch it on Benzinga Cannabis Twitter and Benzinga Cannabis LinkedIn, or listen to it on all podcasting platforms. We've been talking a lot about state markets recently because that's just what's in the news. Super interesting what Ron DeSantis said last week. August 23rd, jumped in and basically said, charge these license holders or license applicants more.
An arm and a leg.
You know, there's probably some people that would probably take offense to that comment. But that being said, he's not necessarily an enemy to the industry, though. So this is not a politically charged comment. He did reverse a ban on smokable flower earlier this year, you know, and made that a part of the industry. But there are other ways to make money from this industry. And making it a barrier to enter seems to be a bad idea to me. I don't know what you think, Tony.
No, that's exactly. I mean, if there's one thing that we want to be is fair, and we want to cover, you know, both sides of the aisle in a fair way. But we're also we're a business news website, and we lean pro business. And there are a lot of things in these types of debates where you could sort of sacrifice, a company's ability to enter a space, like you said, by saddling them with, you know, higher fees and a lot of regulations. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the case here, because in that story, you know, we cover the other side of it. You know, Sally Kent Peebles, you know, talks about this. We source a quote from her where it says, it's not all raking in dough like people think. And I think the cannabis industry has an image problem where they think that, you know, there's just
all across the board.
Of profits every quarter. And then when you saddle them with fees like they're doing here in New York, or like they're talking about here in New York with a $20 million fee, I just it's daunting, whether you're for cannabis or just for medical, maybe you're for both medical and recreational, but you should want your fellow business person to, I think, have relative ease to entry in any industry. So I guess that's my personal take. And that story, you know, if DeSantis is as pro-business as his party likes to tout that it is, you think that he might want to bring them into the fold, bring the cannabis companies into the fold and talk about just what a fair fee, what a fair cost that that entry should be.
And our partner, Brady Cobb, was interviewed by one of the Miami articles, or perhaps it was High Times I saw this morning, basically said a great way to make money is to tax the products and tax the wholesale deals. So tax the actual transactions and those buying as opposed to the companies themselves. Obviously, consumers would disagree with that. But for those that are looking to enter this business, small businesses who are not granted a social equity license are at a massive disadvantage across the entire country right now. So it's interesting to see some of these states and their different tactics. New Mexico might be the exact opposite. They're like, everybody, come on, have a license. You want a license, have a license. They Oprah the whole thing.
Everyone's doing the Oprah thing.
But maybe there's a middle ground that we're missing somewhere. I don't know. We need to answer Resticale in the chat. Glass House Brands, GLASF on the OTC pops end of day. Curious. So I'm not seeing any news here. The last big news they had was a partnership with Seed Junkie, and that was 6 days ago. So this could be a number of things. If it is playing off hope and news, there is several bills heading to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk, including one of interstate commerce. Now, you know, if you talk to other CEOs in the space, like an Abner Curtin, he's going to tell you, and actually, Tony, we interviewed Abner a week ago, and we got this directly from him. So head back to that if you want to hear his thoughts on interstate commerce. Those that are already in cannabis are not going to do this. There is too many differences between how states model their cannabis programs. California cannabis will not sell to New Jersey. That being said, California cannabis very well could be they very well could sell to Kentucky when Kentucky comes online, if Kentucky doesn't want to have their hemp farms produce legal THC. Just a thought there. That is something that could be affecting this. Glasshouse Group also is a very one of the more higher volume U.S. stocks, I think, outside of the major MSOs. So, Tony, any insight here, man, in terms of why Glasshouse just popped to its, I think, monthly highs today?
None that I can offer. I think you covered it. It's just a matter of negotiating these deals, like you said. I think that's interesting that they might one state doing a deal with Kentucky over New Jersey. I would like to explore that. That could probably be like a whole show in and of itself. Is talk about the deals that these states work out with each other. It's very politically driven, but it could also be, you know, whatever the bottom line is, and how they could profit from it.
Resticale heard them propose big revenue increases in coming years, like once they finally get going and producing fully. It wouldn't surprise me. Glasshouse Flower, of all the U.S. vertically integrated operators, is probably some of the most respected product, at least that I can see from the industry. Mm. I don't know what you think about that, Tony, but it actually could be interesting to get our guests' thoughts on that as well. So before we get our guests, we're super excited to be talking to one of the leading vaporized and ancillary brand companies in the industry, the Blink Group CEO, Arnaud Dumas de Raleigh. I think I said that correctly. We'll get him over shortly. But Tony, lightning round, give us a few headlines to keep an eye on as we move into the rest of the week.
Sure. Just go to Benzinga.com and you will see our top stories. We talk about DeSantis and his take on charging companies and what kind of stocks that might affect. We look at the impact that in Pennsylvania, there's a really tight gubernatorial race that could have an impact on cannabis after November and what stocks come into play there. You're going to see names like Trulieve and Curaleaf. Joe Rogan takes a shot at the Vice President Kamala Harris over the Brittany Griner situation in Russia. And we sort of dissect and take a look at the nuances of Harris's record when she was in California as an attorney general. And, you know, last but not least, Pennsylvania comes into play again. A lot of eyes are on this, on both the Senate race and the gubernatorial race, over whether or not cannabis will go recreational there. And Fetterman is calling on Biden to voice support for that. But
a lot of pressure on Biden.
There
is.
A lot
of pressure.
But he's toeing the line, I guess, that in ways that, you know, to appease everybody. And it's like, how much can he, how much does the chief do in terms of executive decisions? That was something that, you know, we see that conversation comes up every now and then. And
because we covered it in our newsletter this morning.
That's right. That's right. And
just saying.
Subscribe.
Look up, we'll drop the link in the chat if you're watching live. If not, head to just look up Benzinga Cannabis Daily Newsletter. It'll be one of the first links to pop up in your chat. Subscribe every day. It's free content. You get to see what's happening in the mornings every single day. And it's all business finance related. And we cover stocks in that newsletter every morning.
And speaking of Delicious Next Leaf, quarter three revenue grew 83%. If you didn't cover that stock, I hope you did. that was one worth mentioning to round out the news portion of the show.
Amen. Love that. Thank you, sir. Let's do it. Let's bring Arnaud over, Aaron, and get started on this interview. Pumped about it. That wasn't good enough. I need to do this again. Arnaud, welcome, man. Absolutely excited to have you with us. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for having me. And no, you did not butcher my name. It was perfect.
Yes. Thank you. And thanks for your help before the show. Welcome, man. Tell us about you. Tell us about the Blank Brain.
Well, very, very simply, we manufacture vaping hardware, but we actually do a lot more than that. I think the over the recent years and most importantly, the last 12 months, the industry has changed a lot and really has become a lot more professional. We've had a lot of people come in from CPG, pharma, and really big profiles come into this industry that are kind of driving the professionalization and the institutionalization, if I could say so, of cannabis. And that's really one of the main factors and drivers behind the restructuring that we've operated recently. We've restructured the team with a new COO who comes from a big public cannabis company, a new VP of sales who comes from a cannabis packaging company, and really have rearranged the way we do business. And I think that has really translated into a lot of very, very good factors. Higher margins. In the past 4 months, our margins have gone up by a little over 4%. By implementing best practices and great quality control and great logistics. That's really something that we've been proud of, mostly since the beginning of COVID. Being able to ship products during COVID was a huge feat in and of itself, but now we're able to streamline that and bring those lead times down. One of the other comments that we've been getting from our clients, and we've seen this with the orders that we've been getting, 2-3 years ago, we would get a big 2 million piece order all at once for the whole year. And now all of these companies, these MSOs, these processors, these brands are a lot more attentive to their CapEx spending. They don't want to mobilize that much inventory. The way we've been able to address that problem is by offering warehousing capabilities. We're working with 150 warehouses around the U.S. And Canada, allowing for that very short delivery time and that on-demand delivery of custom products. You were speaking about interstate commerce earlier. When that's going to come in, and when some of these bigger MSOs who are in different states are going to have to really, I would say, adapt to those different legislations in each state, it's going to be very important to have one single SKU that you can finalize on that in that state and finalize the branding and the marking. I mean, look at the THC logo. It's different in every state. Imagine what it's like for these MSOs. You were talking about Abner. Look at Ascend Wellness. How are they going to deal with all of their states using different SKUs? It's a pain in the ass. I'm sorry to say. There's no other word for director of ops or supply chain directors, and the way we've been able to address that pinpoint is with our ring system. It's customizable ring on the top and the bottom of every cartridge that allows all of our clients to customize this at the last minute during their production. That also avoids having too much inventory of one product and just having to throw it all away in case that SKU doesn't work. Financing options as well. It's amazing what we've seen over the past couple of months where companies are constantly asking for terms. Some of our clients and some of the clients we're speaking to, the first thing they tell us is, guys, we need 30-day terms. We're not going to work with anyone that doesn't give us 30-day terms. That's a whole flip from what it was like 2-3 years ago, where it was really about, hey, I need a million carts right now. And the financing options are super important. We're in the process of setting up Blink Finance to allow our clients to get those terms. And really, I think the main thing here is that we're trying to address our clients' pain points, and not just from a hardware perspective, is really for the entire operations, the entire supply chain around their business and around their vaping business is super important for us.
Oof, let's work backwards. there's a ton to cover in there. So I'm super interested in financing and ring in the ring system. But for the financing, do you see that 30-day term limit as evidence that there is a big need for capital in this space right now?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, we pulled up a chart from our operations team. So not even from finance, not even from accounting, of the time it takes for clients to pay us. We were at 2 to 3 days in 2021, in Q1 2021. We're now up to 10 to 15 days in average from signing the first purchase order to the first payment. And I think that's very clear. That's a very clear message about the payment terms and the availability of cash in the industry. I think everyone's really more interested in keeping as much cash as possible on the short term to be able to weather the storm, given this quote unquote recession environment we're in.
And then one follow up to that, and then Tony, you, sorry. is there, you know, certain levels of companies now? I know their equity has been hard to come by at a decent cost for a lot of companies in this space. You know, but a lot of have also turned it down. I mean, do you see these MSOs as having the same issues with as maybe single state operators or maybe private operators that are interested in, or retailers, I should say, that are interested in your product? Or is it pretty clearly set?
No, I think it's the same across the board. One layer of complexity to that is that a lot of these players are public in Canada, and a lot of the underwriters and a lot of this capital needs to be one source. So that means you have to consolidate all your state revenue. It has to go through Canada. Canadian companies don't want lenders, for instance, or Canadian PO financing companies are not wanting to work with companies that don't operate in Canada, and vice versa. We have companies in the U.S. that are willing to work on a state-by-state basis, but they need consolidated financials. And if those financials are consolidated in Canada, they have no room and no authority in Canada. So I think that compounds the problem even more for some of these companies and some of these brands.
I sort of have a two-parter question. It was interesting when you mentioned recession before, you put in quote unquote. So I guess my first part of my question is, you know, what do you think is going to happen? If you were to make a prediction for how the market will unfold, and are we headed into a recession? And if so, how does your team react? I know there was a bit of restructuring going on. I'm sure your firm does a lot of obviously listening to its customer and the customer needs. And how does that tie into restructuring? And will this looming recession or this talk of recession affect the team and how you guys operate?
I think it's actually been a positive for us. We have to realize that we're kind of at a crossroads here of this, as I say, quote unquote recession, plus the specific time we're in our industry. I've been in the nicotine vaping industry, and it was the exact same thing a couple of years ago. It's booming. And then you have that little hump and it starts going down, price compression, price wars. People don't understand at all the business. So they're all trying to sell cheaper. And then it comes back up. I think we're at that inflection point. The problem is you're hitting that low in the industry itself, coupled with the recession and the lack of availability of funds. And that creates kind of the perfect storm. And I think that's the situation we're in right now. And the only way to weather that storm is to have that little treasure chest. And that's number one. And number two is staying close to those problems. And that's really what prompted us to create the warehousing capabilities we have. A lot of these clients now want on-demand products. And since we make them to order, with their logos, with their customizations, they want to be able to draw down on that inventory that we're holding for them. But they also want the flexibility of having blank products and finishing them themselves with a THC logo or a sticker with their logo at any given time. And that compounded as well with the fact that a lot of these players right now are having huge problems forecasting. That's also one of the reasons why we set up these warehousing capabilities as well as the financing options, is to kind of alleviate that forecasting pressure because of pricing and, to be honest, of availability of the products.
I got to latch on to something you said here, and it's not what you think. Maybe it is. Probably not what I should latch on to, but I got to ask your opinion on some data that came up from a Gallup poll I believe end of last week, saying more Americans smoked marijuana than cigarettes in a week. I think it was earlier this month. Is that a trend that Arnaud sees continuing? Like, what is that, just a random week? What's going on here?
Hey, personal opinion, having been in both industries since basically the inception of both of them, I believe that we will see a lot more of this in the U.S. Because of the way nicotine vaping is regulated in the U.S. In my country, in France, I get reimbursed by Social Security because I switched from smoking to vaping. I get reimbursed €65 every year to buy new gear, which I actually just bought while I was on vacation in France. because of the harm reduction aspect of vaping versus smoking. In this country, it's almost frowned upon. It's almost just like smoking, and some people even say it's more dangerous. No one has ever died of a PG or VG overdose, so it's really, really important to understand that distinction for the U.S. market specifically. So I have no problem believing that Gallup poll and seeing that trend actually continuing in the next couple of years.
Tiny Prime Media in the chat. Wait, what? You get reimbursed for vaping? I think you might have just convinced people to move to France.
Yeah, it's not only France. It's half the European countries. The MHRA in the UK reimburses you for vaping, from switching from smoking to vaping.
Oh, man.
What can €65 get you? You held up a little vaping.
Yeah, this is just a basic pod mod with a little pod of nicotine juice that you put in, and it's refillable. Your regular nicotine vaping products.
Do you miss the lighting up of a cigarette? And I'm just curious as a habit. Like, do you just miss
no,
and then relaxing?
It's become a pain for me to smell cigarettes. And being back in France for the past 2 weeks, and having a lot of friends that do smoke, just the odor, the flavor. I mean, I vape strawberry and mango. I don't want to smell. I don't want to smell tobacco. I don't want to stink. I don't want my sweater here to stink like tobacco. And I honestly think that we're going to see that trend more and more in the coming years with cannabis as well.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. So last question from me, and then I don't know if Tony has anything to wrap up, but the ring system. So for those that may not be super heavy into vaping, super heavy into cannabis consumption, we have a sector agnostic audience here. So I just want to break that down a little bit. When you say you can adjust it to SKUs in different markets or as needed by companies, what do you mean by that?
Let me try to do a visual demonstration. So sorry.
Please,
for those that
are love visuals. Listening to this.
We have the cartridges right here. So you see they have a THC logo that's mandatory in almost every market, plus branding up here and down here. What we have been able to create is the branding up here and down here can be printed last minute on the fly in way less delay than creating a whole new cartridge. So basically, if you're a processor and you're producing for a couple of different brands, you can buy one SKU and just get your rings printed on the side. So you're not dealing with multiple SKUs. You're not doing all your validation, your testing with multiple products. If you're one MSO and you have different states, all you need is the different branding here and different sticker glass for THC, and you're good to go. Unless you want to get them printed, like this with silkscreen printing. But we're essentially eliminating any potential dead inventory. If you have four strains and let's say one strain doesn't sell, but you're then stuck with 100,000 carts of that strain that you can't use for anything else because they're pre-printed, we're eliminating that entire solution with the ring system that has that's been patented in the US, Canada, Europe, and China.
I'm guessing the former packaging executive had a little say / help in doing that. That's fantastic. It seems like a no-brainer, but obviously something that you're uniquely doing.
Exactly. Again, we're solving a client's problem. And this is nothing super new. It's really just providing that kind of service and simplifying the lives of our clients. That's really what we're all about, making things simple and accessible.
Love that. Tony, you're good. All right. Arnaud, if you want to leave us with any last thoughts, what can we look for from the vaping industry for the rest of 2022? Like any piece of the vaping, it goes in waves here. Obviously, it's very popular from consumers, but it also gets a bad rap in the media. What can we expect in the future trends, future fun products, anything that we can look for as vaping is concerned?
I think what we need to be looking for is more research into the different cannabinoids and the different ratios we can see in these vaping products. That's why we had pioneered the vape survey with a specific cannabis vaping regime for testing those products last year. And it's really important for consumer safety, making sure and due diligence on the materials that are used, on the suppliers that are used is super important, and things that I'm not at all seeing a lot of. I think regulation moving forward is really going to help that. The emissions regulation in Colorado, for instance, I think is going to get picked up before the end of the year by two or three new states, and adding those requirements that aren't super onerous for the industry and for industry players, but that are exemplifying what consumer safety should be in our industry. I think that's really what I'm looking forward to, is more of these science-based regulations and not just sticking your finger up in the air and saying, oh yeah, I think that's dangerous, so let's ban it. which is what a lot of these legislations are doing.
And is descheduling essential for those studies to happen?
I think it will really, really help descheduling. But I also think corporate social responsibility of a lot of these players is very, very important. A lot of these MSOs, LPs, are afraid to do the research. If you look at back what happened with tobacco and the master settlement agreement, now tobacco industry is paying states literally every year. They're paying them money because they were killing people. The only reason is because the research was kept under wraps. And then when the government started digging and saw that, hey, 20 years ago, they saw that tobacco gave cancer. That's what we don't want happening. Unfortunately, for liability reasons, a lot of these MSOs and producers are a little bit scared right now to do this research. That's why as an ancillary provider and as a non-plant touching company, we're more than willing to help with that and get anonymized research moving. That's really the core of what we do to make sure that we're protecting consumer safety.
Fantastic. Arnaud Dumont de Raleigh, co-founder and CEO of The Blank Group. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really enlightening conversation. We'll look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. So do I. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, Tony, that was a great conversation. I think our first time speaking with Arnaud. Blank Group has been around for a long time. They are a major player in the vape space in cannabis. So we are thrilled to be able to host him on our podcast. But Tony, any thoughts before we hop off here, my friend?
Just give them a follow. Look them up on Twitter, Instagram. I requested him on LinkedIn. I want to keep in touch with Arnaud. The company had 134% growth in revenue in this past year. So it's something he's a guy you want to keep an eye on and you want to know this company.
Amen. And maybe one day they'll be investable by all of us, but probably not anytime soon, given the current state of the markets. With that being said, every morning, tune into Cannabis Daily on Benzinga Cannabis Twitter, Benzinga Cannabis LinkedIn, 8:15 a.m. Also, Benzinga.com/cannabis. You'll get Tony, you'll get Javier, you'll get Maureen, you'll get all of our amazing writing team's insights throughout the day, 40-plus articles a day. And then last but not least, tune in here again Thursday, 4 Eastern time. Oop, also lied, bzcannabis.com, to hit the best business-to-business event in the cannabis space. Check out that agenda, y'all. It is stacked. Tomorrow, we're announcing some major speakers. Tune in. It's going to be sick. But we'll let you know on Thursday if you missed that announcement. Tune in then. Tony, till next time, man.
I'm going to tune in to find out who those speakers are.
I'm Sam. I'm teasing all of you. We'll let you know. We'll let you know. Until then, y'all, have a great rest of your Tuesday.